Hello, wonderful souls, and welcome to the Empowered Woman Project. My name is Eliana Marie, and I am your friendly neighborhood fitness and mindset coach and life hype woman. I am on a mission to empower women around the world because I see so many women living life with a handbrake on, not fully realizing the power or fully living their life. And I am here to show you how you can live your strongest, happiest, and most confident lives. I truly believe that you can do anything you want. You can truly achieve all your goals and dreams the moment you realize and take your power back. Everything you've ever wanted is already within you. So master your mindset and manifest all your goals and dreams right here, right now. Let's go. Hello, my loves. She's back. It's been quite a while since the last podcast, and so much has happened since then. I've moved to Melbourne. My heart got broken. My heart got healed by someone else. It's been a beautiful journey, and I'm here to help you with your journey, whatever it is. In this Empowered Woman podcast, it's going to be more than just talking about fitness, more than mindset. It's going to be everything. I'm not just going to share my journey. I'm going to share the people's journeys, my clients' journeys, and perhaps your journey one day. Feel free to reach out to me. So today, what I want to talk about is my journey. I feel like I've said journey so many times. Take a shot every time I say that word. My journey's led me to where I am today. It's led me to becoming a fitness and mindset coach. And the reason why I'm a fitness and mindset coach is because I don't want women to live their whole lives constantly trying to diet, constantly fighting against who they are, wishing they were someone else. And I want them to be living their life fully because you only get one life. And this body is the only vessel that'll take you through this life. So I teach my clients how to become friends with themselves. Later on, I'll probably talk about something called the best friend talk and how you should be talking to yourself. But my journey goes way, way back. So I was born in the Philippines. I'm currently 26 years old. I was born in 1995. And as far back as I can recall, I was a really confident, fearless child. Like, I would say whatever. I would sign up to all like the dancing, music performances in my old school when I was in primary school. I would sign up to be the president of the class. I was such a fearless kid. And then my family moved to Australia when I was 11 years old. So going through puberty, experiencing a huge culture shock. And that was a time where I started becoming really aware of where I kind of sat, where I was in the world, if that makes sense. Moving to Australia, it was a beautiful thing. My parents gave up everything because they wanted to give us kids a really good education. And that was great. However, as someone going through puberty, as my body was changing, as I was experiencing a completely different culture, I became super self-aware. And it was like that fire that lit so brightly within me kind of died down. No longer was I that fearless, confident kid. I became extremely self-conscious. I remember even going to school and having a different lunch to the kids. And one of the kids mentioned that my lunch smelled weird. And I remember coming home, telling mom, don't cook this ever again. Pack sandwiches. Like, I don't want to bring this to school. And that was also a time where, because in the Philippines, the English accent is very American. You can probably hear it through my accent right now. It's mixed right now. But when I came here, it was a full-on American accent because we learned American English in the Philippines. And I remember kids making fun of my accent when I was reading out in English class. I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but you kind of like read a couple of pages, then the next person reads a couple of pages. And I became so anxious. Even, right, this is really extreme, but even down to the way I blinked, I thought everyone was watching my every move, judging my every move. And I became the opposite of what I was as a child. I was so self-aware, self-conscious, and I just wanted to fit in. And I did my best to do that. Now, the other thing that happened during this time was my parents, my beautiful parents, chucked the kids into hobbies that they wanted to do. And for me, that was dance. And I got into a ballet school where I did ballet, jazz, tap, contemporary, you name it, I did it. Hip hop as well. And I remember doing ballet, and I reckon the first few months was fine. And then my body really started changing. Like, I developed breasts. I developed that curvature in my waist and hips. And I noticed I was more of a muscly kid or muscly teenager than the other ballet dancers. And that's just my structure. And if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I have quite prominent quads, which I fully embrace now. But I remember going to the dance school and looking at my longer, kind of leaner classmates and wishing that I was in their bodies. And I completely disliked my features. I didn't like the fact that I had bigger boobs than the other girls. I didn't like the fact that I had bigger quads than the other girls. And every time we'd go on point, which is basically dancing on your toes, my quads looked even more defined. And I was like, please, dear God, just change my body overnight. And that was the time where I became even more sensitive about my body image. So I think going through all that in my pubescent years, going through puberty, was really tough on me mentally. And I developed anxiety, like I said, to the point where I was like watching how I blink just in case someone thought I blinked weird. I know that sounds really odd, but that's how kind of extreme it got. I didn't know this at the time, obviously, but looking back now, I'm like, damn, Marie, I wish you didn't care what other people thought. I know that now. What else? Oh, in high school, I went through an accelerated program. So I came from a private school to a public school. And I was like, a first day, I remember I was dressed prim and proper because that was like the dress code in my private school. And then I remember kids making fun of the way I dressed. And then I also remember kids making fun of the fact that I was in the nerd program and I was totally not cool. And I remember the first month, I was like sitting alone in recess and lunch, reading a book, like almost crying every time because I'm like, what the hell did I do to deserve this? Like, why are kids so mean to me? Why can't I make any friends? But then eventually I started to own my nerdiness. I was actually talking to my high performance and sports psychologist about this with my clients, where I opened up about my experience in childhood because I became such a success-based, how do you say it? I placed my worth a lot in achievement and success, which protected me when I was younger, but then it's not a great attribute to have right now when you constantly just define your worth based on your successes. But anyways, I recall a moment where I got bullied and I was so angry. And I was like, I am going to be a successful woman. I'm going to do everything I can to get A's in school, go to uni, get a really good job, and you're going to be cleaning my toilet for me. And obviously that's a really harsh thing to say. And I just remembered having that mentality of, I'm going to show you what I'm all about. Bully me all you want, but I'm going to show you what I'm all about. So that built my like hunger for success. And like I said, that's what made me put my worth on succeeding. Now, how I got into training and into the fitness industry, I remember I was doing music theater and one of my friends then, she was like, oh, do you know the Bikini Body Guide, like Kayla Itsinis? And that was also the time where I was heavily into Tumblr and I used to toxically pin posts. Like there's this Kate Moss one, and trigger warning, by the way, if you are triggered by pro-anorexic posts, it was one that said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. And it's just so toxic to the mind. But as a young, imprintable, highly imprintable teenager, I took that into account. I was like, okay, well, I need to be skinny. And also with my background in dance, I need to be skinny and have no muscles. And then there's also the rise of Instagram. I remember getting Instagram when I was, I reckon, 15 years old. And there were all these Instagram influencers like Katie Hearn, Paige Hathaway. There was Katia Elise something. There was someone else, Jen, the one with the booty. And that became like my ideal self. I wanted that body so bad. Kayla Itzenis as well. And so I've tried the BBG Bikini Body Guide. I've tried looking up diets and stuff. There's literally diets that are so restrictive. Like I remember just, you know, egg whites and just chicken and broccoli or fish and green leafy veg for the day. And that was it. I looked up the military diet. And what I would do is I compile all these things. I literally had a folder. I had a folder where I compiled the printouts. I had that as like my fitness Bible. And those were the things that I tried to follow. I've tried to do the 1200 calorie diet, all that jazz. And I remember buying like weights from Big W and like a yoga mat. And all I would do is like ab workouts because I just wanted washboard abs. So that's how I first dipped my toes into kind of like the dieting, exercising industry. Now, fast forward a couple of years, I got a job at a local aquatic center and they had free gym membership for employees. So I thought, oh, why not sign up at the gym? And I remember walking in there and they're mainly guys. My first session, I retreated to like the stretching kind of yoga area, got a mat and just did the ab workouts that I knew because I had no clue. And I think I also hopped in the treadmill and that was probably like my first month of going to the gym. I probably went once or twice a week, if that. And then my ex, so I had a boyfriend who worked there and he was like, I'll teach you. And so he showed me the ropes, the basics of working out. So I started training with weights. And there was just something beautiful. Something clicked in me that said, I love doing this. This is amazing. And I used to actually not train upper body because I thought training my upper body would like make me bulky. Some women these days still think that. But then I learned to train upper body and I learned to love it. And I was like, this is so cool. I love lifting weights. I love, I guess, exercising and being like this smaller girl amongst like a sea of men at the gym. And it gave me power. I felt really powerful. Now, I would say a year later, I remember my friend invited me to her bodybuilding show. And that was my first taste of the bodybuilding industry. And I just saw these incredible physiques walk out on stage. And I remember thinking, damn, I need to get fit. Like I need to look like that. And so I reckon 6 months later, I signed up with her coach and I have no clue about diets at this phase, like zero, zilch, none. I have no prior knowledge on nutrition. And basically I started comp prepping and I was given like a meal plan and it was pretty much like rice, veggies. I was only allowed certain fruits. And then that was it. And then depending on how my progress went, I was allocated a cheat meal, which I think I've only had once or twice during that time. Now, you know, nothing against this coach. However, that approach was not good for me. I started working for a chocolate company at the same time. And I just remember thinking in my head, ooh, can't have that. I said no to a lot of things, said no to a lot of foods at corporate lunches, said no to a lot of the chocolate that was offered to me or was given to me as a gift for working for the company. And I remember stashing them away. This is one big mistake I did that looking back now, like, girl, you shouldn't have stashed it. But to me, I was like, well, I can have these all later after my comp prep finishes. Anyways, I remember doing hours of cardio. I remember doing so many like meal prepped foods that were only like the certain foods I was allowed. A lot of kangaroo meat, a lot of fish. And it was fine to me then. Like I was able to do it. But then I had my best friend, Annie. We would go out sometimes and she'd order a pizza. Or I'd see her eating a pizza on her Instagram story whilst prepping for a bodybuilding comp. And I asked her, I was like, how the hell are you doing this? And she said it's through an approach called flexible dieting. I was like, I don't get it. Like it doesn't register, doesn't click in my head. How are you not eating, air quotes, clean foods and losing fat? Like what? So that's always been in the back of my mind as well. Anyways, got to comp day, did really well, got first place in one of my divisions, took home a trophy, was incredibly lean, but I was also incredibly depleted. My hormones were shot, no doubt. And coming out of that comp prep, I didn't have a reverse plan. I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. And I just started eating because my body was so depleted. It was literally asking me for nourishment, for food. But my brain doesn't know what it needs. So my brain was just like, well, time to eat. I remember going for the cheat meal that night and I felt so sick after because my stomach was just, it was so bloated. It had digested oils and dairy and sugars that it wasn't used to consuming. And I felt so shit the next day, so crap. And then one thing led to another. I just couldn't stop eating. I tried to stick to like clean eating, but I couldn't stop myself from eating foods. And then in my head, I was like, how can you be someone who was so disciplined, got incredibly lean? You could see my six pack, like you can probably like grate cheese on it. That's how lean I was. But how could I have the mentality of wanting to eat other foods? And this conflicting identity within me was so hard. And I also had my stash of lollies and chocolate that I kind of pummeled through. So what would happen is I tried to eat healthy. I'd pack my lunches, my dinners. And then at night, it was like a nightmare because I would enjoy eating the first few bites. And then something in me was like, keep going, because you can't have these tomorrow. You are bad for having these. It's actually like heartbreaking. Like, God, I'm getting a bit emotional because it's taken me back to that really dark place where I would feel like I'd black out from eating. Like I remember one night I was so sick that I tried to make myself vomit because it was such a shit feeling and I couldn't stop myself from eating. And so I got the help of another coach eventually 3 months later because I was like, I can't keep living like this. I gained, for my small 5'2 body, I gained twice the weight back that I've lost and then some. I reckon I gained 10 to 12 kilos. And that was really bad. I remember trying to buy a dress for my birthday, my 22nd birthday, and nothing would fit. I felt so uncomfortable in everything that I tried except for this kind of like flowy black dress that I decided on. And the thing is, no one knew about this. I never told anyone because to me, that was like a weakness. Like, you going through this is weak. And then I sought for help because I was like, I can't live like this anymore. I hated spending hours in the treadmill trying to undo the work that I'd done. I hated blacking out at night from binge eating episodes. And so I sought the help of my friend's coach because I was like, well, I want to be able to enjoy pizza. I want to be able to enjoy lifting again. And I found powerlifting and flexible dieting, which saved my life for real. This coach was able to show me how I could incorporate the foods I love into a healthy eating lifestyle. And I can also train for performance, not just for physique, which was important to me at that time because I didn't even want to look at my body. I was just like, I don't want to think about it. I just want to start feeling good. So yeah, I started doing that and it was the most incredible feeling ever. It was like that feeling of when I first started going to the gym and lifting heavy weights. I was like, this is amazing. And so I started learning about calories and macros, and I found it very empowering. It was not perfect at all. I found it hard to stick to. I think my brain was just really tired, but I remember reaching my PBs that year, especially for my squat. I got 100 kilo squat. Wild, which I haven't beat yet, actually. Need to work on that. And my deadlift PB was like 112.5 kilos. Like, I was just like, wow, my body can do this. This is amazing. Now, the year after, I did another comp. Oh, I also traveled, went to New Zealand, went to the Philippines to visit my family. I went to New Zealand on like a post-breakup tour. I was like, it was like my liberation. I was like, boy, bye, I'm traveling by myself and enjoying my life. Side note. And then I did another comp that year, successfully, third place. But I still actually had feelings of like, I don't know. Like, my body was just tired of competing and I wanted to compete again the next year, but I didn't do it. And I still actually went through a little bit of the overeating episodes post-comp. I think any competitor knows this when your ghrelin levels are like shot, when your hunger hormones and your hormones in general, like your reproductive hormones are shot, your body's just not going to function or like feel the way it would feel when it's thriving. And competitors do develop the tendency to overeat. It's like, I haven't heard a competitor who hasn't. But I just remember thinking, okay, well, we're not going to go back to those old habits. So I just allowed myself to eat food. It was hard to accept the post-comp weight gain. And for anyone who's thinking of doing a bodybuilding competition, ask yourself why, like literally five whys. And if your why is not strong enough, don't do it, because it's a very tough sport. Your whole life revolves around it, and you, your hormones get impacted, your mental health gets impacted by it. So think twice, actually think five times before you do a comp. It's mentally and physically tough and emotionally tough as well. And around that time, I was also just feeling so angsty around my job. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I remember my manager asking me, because I was in the graduate program, my next rotation was up. One of my managers asked me, it's like, oh, would you reckon you'd want to go for an account manager job or this job or category? And I just was like, I told him, I was like, I'm not sure. And I'm a person who is achievement-based and is usually very sure of what she wants to achieve. And I was just so lost. And then he asked me a question, and I'm looking at a light bulb actually, so this is going to be very fitting, that gave me a light bulb moment. He was like, so what do you actually want to do? And I said, I want to help people. And then he suggested HR. And he's like, but you can do better than that. And I was like, oh, okay. Nothing against anyone in HR. Very helpful, guys. And then I was ruminating in my head. I was like, why am I not enjoying this job? Why does something feel just ugh? And then I realized, wait, what am I passionate about? I'm passionate about health and fitness. And I want to teach women what I experience in terms of like, what's it called? In terms of achieving performance-based goals, in terms of accepting their bodies, in terms of shifting away from binge eating. I wanted to teach women that. And so I started my PT course. I quit my job the next year. Oh, I started a local meetup group actually in Melbourne called Strong Ass Babes Club, represent. And that was so amazing, bringing so many women together who shared the same kind of values and share the same love for health and fitness. And I've met a few really good friends through there actually. And then, yeah, I quit my job and decided to pursue fitness, which was super daunting, like this safe and secure job into like a job that I had no clue what the income, what the, you know, industry was going to be fully like. I mean, I had some idea. I knew the industry was very saturated, which is why I was kind of afraid to like make the leap. But yeah, I went all in. And during this time, by the way, before I even became a PT, I was on a journey to really accepting and loving who I was. And I kind of like documented my journey through journals. And this is what I teach my clients, like everything I've learned in those 5 years, 5, 6 years of going through the absolute ringer of diets, clean eating, binge eating, and back again to eventually loving myself. That is the core of what I wanted to teach. So anyways, I worked for a local PT. I subcontracted. I worked with men and women. Then COVID hit, didn't have a job, went back home to Adelaide, and yeah, went all in on my online business. And now it's like, it's incredibly amazing. And I hope when you're listening to my story and when you know about where I am now, I'm extremely confident in my body. I don't have the perfect days. Like there are some days where I have lower or poorer body image days, but a lot less than I used to. I love eating food. I love lifting weights. I love nourishing my body. And I know that I can do anything I put my mind to. And this is exactly what I want to show my clients who do the Empowered Woman Project with me. And what I want to show you guys through this podcast. One of the biggest things I realize is that everything that we want to be, and I'm getting goosebumps saying this, is already within us. We don't have to look externally. And that's often what people do. They look externally for inspiration, for motivation, which does serve a purpose. But at the end of the day, you have to dig down deep within you, ask yourself what you really want, and then why it's going to make you happy, why it's going to make your life fulfilling, and then go do it. And I know that a lot of you listening right now are perhaps going through what I went through, the restrictive diets, the overexercising, all that jazz. And I want you to know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This is not how your life is going to be forever if you are struggling. I'm a testament to that. My clients are a testament to that. And you could be a testament to that as well. I know that within you, there is someone who no longer seeks the validation of others. There is someone who is able to eat out with their partner, their friends, their family, without feeling shame or guilt and actually being able to enjoy the presence and company of others whilst eating some damn delicious food and drinking some damn delicious alcohol. There's a version of you in there. It's deep within you. I know it. That enjoys training to be strong, enjoys pushing themselves. And the thing is, all that you want right now is on the other side of your fears. So I want to take you on a journey with the Empowered Women Project. Through this podcast, or should you decide to hit me up about my program, go for it. Because I want you to stop living life with the handbrakes on. I realized there was so much more to life when I just stopped focusing merely on how I looked or how I looked in comparison to others or what society expected of me. Life is so much brighter, literally. Like, it feels so amazing to be empowered, to know you have control, to know you have the choice, and to know that you can overcome your darkest days yet. So my love, the next few weeks I'll be releasing shorter mini lessons. It's not going to be as long as this. This is me like, it's just like a monologue. I'm recording this in my apartment in St. Kilda, and it's like a monologue. I'm just talking to a camera and to a microphone. But the next few weeks, or however long this podcast goes for, hopefully till the day I die, because I want to empower everyone in the world, I'm going to be teaching you some tools and mindset, on training, on nutrition, the whole shebang. I'll bring guests on, bring my clients on to show you that it is possible. But one thing I want you to know is when you do listen to this podcast, make sure you take something out of it, okay? Then apply it to your life. So what I want you to do now, this is your action point, is to journal about where you are now, okay? I did this, I would say, when I was like in the middle of those depressive binge eating episodes. I wrote to myself, I'll find the journal, it's back home in Adelaide, but I remember writing to myself right now saying, this sucks. This whole binge eating episode feels like crap, but you will get through it. So I want you to write where you are now and a mantra for yourself to keep going. Honestly, the value of a podcast or any learning platform is when you actually take action. So go forth, my love. There's an empowered version of you waiting around the corner deep inside you, and we will help unlock her in the next few weeks, few months, year, however long it takes. I will help you. I will be that coach in your corner to see you win. Now, if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, share on social media. You are part of this, by the way. You are part of the movement to empower women to ditch the yo-yo dieting mindset, become super confident in themselves, and actually live their lives fully. So share away, send me a message on Instagram, tell me what you thought of the podcast. And yeah, feel free to also send me any recommendations of things you want to learn, want to hear about, want to know about. I'm all for it. Okay, have a wonderful week, and I will catch you soon. Bye.